Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Kasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. So if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Hi, thanks so much for having me. I'm Manu Gottlieb. I'm the CEO at Belgian Voice, and I'm based in Brooklyn, New York, originally from Belgium, and I've been in the States for over a decade.
Awesome. So can you tell us about Belgian Voice? Like, what exactly is it? Like, what do you guys make? And I guess what makes you better or more unique than your competition?
Definitely. Belgian Voice, really, it's our story. And maybe giving you a bit of background of how it started. You can hear it from my accent. I'm not from here. I'm originally from Belgium, as I said. And when we got to the States, we're like, where are the awesome waffles? Why is every waffle that we taste here in the US, why does every pancake that we taste here in the US not the same quality and inferior to what we have in Europe? And that really what started. I mean, Belgian Voice, our mission is to spark those moments of happiness. That's what we want to do. Our brand is giving shining bright pink, and we just want to give our consumer, mostly parents, that easiness, that trade up from what's currently on the market, like an Eggo waffle. And you know, I'm not from here, but I hear that our generation here grew up eating Eggo waffles and Pop-Tarts for breakfast. That's not what this generation wants to give the next generation. I know what I give my kids for breakfast, and definitely Belgian Voice is the brand for that.
Awesome. So how did it go from, you know, having this idea and seeing this need to actually creating a business out of it?
A couple of crazy people, I guess. I met a guy on a plane, and that's how the story started, I would say. So I met Greg on a plane from Belgium to New York. Greg had this idea of starting a company, and my background's fashion design. And so I'm like, Greg, I love this idea, but gotta tell our story. We gotta bring a brand. We gotta make clothes for those cookies and those waffles, because people are not gonna pick it up to try and taste it if it doesn't look good, from my fashion analogies. And that's really what started the idea. And today we're married in 7,000 stores, and we also have three kids. One of them is Belgian Boys, and then two through Belgian Boys. We have two sons.
So in terms of, you know, I guess one thing to, you know, say that you want to do and even start the business, but how did you even, I'm sure you probably went through lots of trials and finding like the right ingredients to make the perfect product. So what did that look like for you early on?
Yes. So I want to say that most CPG stories, like product-based stories, are like, I tried it in my kitchen and then I reiterated the recipes, etc. I think we saw things big, or Greg, that's really his area of the business. He leads product innovation, R&D, supplier relationship. That's his part of the business that he runs. And he saw things very big. And when we started, he's like, we got to go to these major manufacturers in Europe and sell them this vision that we believe in. And so we started working with really large manufacturers. I don't know how, but I guess there was a lot of convincing and explaining our dream and what we believed that we could do. And so we didn't go from a kitchen to a commercial kitchen to a manufacturer. Like, for us, we started with that major manufacturer, very small runs that over the years scaled. But it's, you know, that product, that traditional European product with a, I would say, international twist on it.
Awesome. So is everything, are all your products made in Europe, or do you now produce some here in the US as well?
So we started with all our products made in Europe. And over time, we've also brought some products domestically, but really taking our time there, because what Belgian Boys is, it's our brand promise is that quality, that superior taste, that quality of the raw materials and ingredients. We're not a healthy brand, but we want to know what goes in our product, right? Like, what do you make a pancake with in your kitchen? Wheat, eggs, flour, sugar, right? Like, those are the ingredients that go. So we just take those high quality ingredients and raw materials and really, really taking our time to make sure we are working with the right partners that have the right raw materials, that have that right know-how to support our mission and our brand promise to our customers.
So as of today, is most of your business direct to consumer, or is it mostly in retail? Like, what does that breakdown look like?
So the breakdown is maybe not 100, but close to 100% retail. We are B2B. We work with customers like Walmart, Costco, Target, Publix, and our consumer finds us in the store. That's where we are mostly available. We did try DTC. I think we were on that FOMO wave back in 2020, where we're like, oh my God, everyone's on DTC and we don't have it. Let's set up a Shopify, and very quickly set up that warehouse in a garage and started filling tens of thousands of orders. But fast forward 3 years later, we found out that our consumer is looking to put us in their basket as an incremental, right? If you think about the consumer behavior and what the consumer is looking for in their weekly groceries, and we're definitely a weekly groceries item, right? There is no one that has the luxury, maybe that's stereotyping, but I don't know a lot of people that do their grocery shopping on 15 different websites every week. Like, I'm going to buy pancakes on this website and meat on that website and drinks on that website. Like, that would take a really long amount of time, right? And so most people, you know, just like myself as a consumer and looking at my behavior, I just go to either one shop or maybe multiple shops for specialty items or one website and like try to get the most consolidated in one trip because of convenience and time. And our consumer in their basket, and that's not what I thought it was when we started. I thought our consumer was buying our product because they wanted to be reminded of when they were in Amsterdam and Paris and blah, blah, blah. And our consumer is buying us because we taste good, because it's convenient, it's quick, it's easy, and it's an upgrade from what's on the market. Our consumer in their basket has eggs, orange juice, strawberries, Nutella, and like chicken breast, which is, oh, and Lucky Charms. And I'm like, that's just like an everyday consumer, mainstream consumer. And when they buy Belgian Boys, it's like a delight. They add it to their basket. It's that every American household Target weekly shopping run on a Saturday afternoon with a coffee in your hand, and just every kid can choose one thing. Like, that's our core consumer. And so if we look at our business, we were trying to solve for the small part of our consumer versus solving for the mass of our consumer. I mean, and if DTC is a customer experience kind of play, it was not a seamless experience that we were offering for our consumer. They had to buy a bundle of 100 for it to make sense for us. Well, our product's quite large, our retail boxes. Where the hell do you put 20 of those in your fridge? Like, it doesn't even fit. And then it was getting perishable. It was getting hot. It was just not good. And so we decided to cut it, to shut down our DTC earlier this year and that focus on supporting our retail partners.
100%. It's interesting because, like, the way that I view, you know, e-commerce, even for CPG, it's like you can look at it kind of like what you're saying, right? If somebody's shopping, for example, on DoorDash or Instacart and getting their groceries delivered, they can order your products from their home. It doesn't have to be shipped directly from you. It can be, you know, picked up from somebody locally and dropped off at their home.
Right, right. And we work a lot with those companies that you mentioned, where the consumer goes and has that seamless experience, but is able to buy a basket that includes more than waffles, pancakes, and cookies.
So this conversation is going mouth-watering. We are talking about too much delicious things. So yeah, that's good. So I wanted to know, like, if IT is giving some benefits to your business, and if yes, then how this technology is giving the benefits to your business?
How is our technology giving what to our business?
Yeah, I was just asking, like, how the technology is giving benefits to your business.
I mean, I'm like the least tech savvy person in the world. So first of all, when I need to drive that in our company, I really rely on surrounding myself with people that are so much more tech savvy than me. But, you know, I think actually I've had a lot of learnings on that end in the last year, because 3 years ago in 2020, we were just five people. I mean, on five people, technology really didn't have, like, except for a phone, it didn't have a computer with, like, access to email, didn't have a lot of other implications, because we were just five people and we were doing everything on post-it. And over the last 3 years, as we grew our team, as we had to grow in a remote environment where we are hiring across the world, and having a 20-plus team.
So what if your brand may have an avatar and a superhero avatar, a character who is representing your company, what it could be?
Oh, I love that question. I mean, on our logo, you have two little characters, and that goes back to our I want to say inception. So
can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. So in Belgium, animation is a huge, huge part of our upbringing. I mean, you're talking to the inventors of Tintins, the Smurfs, Hercule Poirot, like all these amazing animations. And so when we needed to look at our logo, we wanted to make sure that we have animation in our logo. So who is the avatar of our brand? I think our job and the future of Belgian Boys is to bring our logo to life, to have our animation, we call them Skinny and Chubby with two bowler hats right now, to have them talk to our consumer, to be a part of our brand. That is something that we have not yet explored, but it's definitely on the horizon as we keep skating, and they will be our avatars.
100%. So I guess back to, like, technology, we're talking about technology. I think Cosmo was having some technical issues speaking of technology, but in terms of, you know, what you're using now, you know, do you use artificial intelligence in your business? And if not, like, what are some of the use cases that you see coming up in the pipeline, you know, in the future when it comes to AI and CPG in general?
Yeah, it's super interesting. I was just at a conference last week where it was a huge part of the conversation, AI in CPG, how to use it, how to not use it. I mean, I think right now, companies that will be using it in the next coming months will be at a significant competitive advantage, because it is not yet mainstream. A lot of people are still afraid of it. I think it should be used as a tool. I mean, talk about innovation, talk about understanding who your consumer is. I think, yes, you don't really know the data points and where that information comes, so you need that human to lead, to look at it. But I mean, I'm encouraging our team to ask tools like ChatGPT, DALL-E, Midjourney, and give it a starting point that we can then explore internal with, like, us, and like, oh, well, that's interesting. Or, hi, and it's all about the prompts. I mean, as long as the prompts are good, I think we really get quality in saying, I am A and I'm trying to, and help me this, elaborate on that, like really prompt. And then even on like basic tools, we've really started to explore with it. I can't say that Belgian Boys is at the forefront of it. We absolutely are not, but it's on our mind, and every department has started to activate that muscle.
So do you view AI even as like an informational tool? Like, for example, if somebody lands on your website, getting information, being able to have conversation that maybe right now are being handled by customer service, they can go and say, oh, like, you know, what is it all about? What's the difference between this and American waffles? You know, asking these types of questions, right? They can really understand like the value of your products.
Right. I think that's fascinating. And there are, I know that this is so much going to develop over the coming, honestly, years, but even months. Like every day you hear something new there. It's about knowing what works for your business and what is truly going to help your customer understand your brand and be that tool to unlock a brand interested person to a brand loyalist.
Makes sense. What would you say is the biggest challenge that you're facing right now in the business?
I think it's going to scale. I would say, you know, running a business of five people is very different than running a, you know, different revenue, a business of north of 20 people. And it's a different skill set working with more people. There are more layers in the organization. And I think getting prepared for that hyper growth with Belgium Boys is in requires that stabilization of a foundation, which is what we're working on right now, because everything just becomes incrementally bigger. And you say, yeah, I want to scale. Well, that means processes and systems and just a bunch of things that you didn't even know you needed, right? And working on that to enable growth is what right now is definitely on our mind, and it's time consuming. It's absolutely the right thing to do. It's just a skill set that I think I had not unanticipated, but I didn't think it would take so much from the organization to execute on.
Makes sense. But like, what does scalability look like for you? Is it more so getting into more retailers, maybe focusing on getting into some larger chain restaurants, for example, having like the restaurants, you know, have your product on the menu? Like, what does that look like for you in the pipeline?
So, I mean, right now, we're nowhere yet. So right now, scale for us is just maximizing our existing core assortment into not only more stores, but also maximizing velocities in store. So first, like you talk about a Walmart. Right now, we're in 900 Walmarts. Well, there are way many more, right? So from an ACV perspective, just working with our existing partners to create better programs to drive velocities at point of sales where we are already at, and then scale into more store. That's just lever one. Then you have going into new doors, growing assortment, getting more products into the existing doors, new channels. That's further on the horizon because we have just so much untapped with what we have. I think it's really about, and that's, I think it's been not a challenge, but it's very hard to say no, right? And something we're dealing with every day. Well, we have this opportunity to start this new channel and it's very exciting. Well, what kind of resources do you need to allocate it? And is this truly the biggest opportunity you have as a team right now in front of you? Or is this an opportunity that you have to say, this is amazing, but let's focus on what we have to focus and say not right now to this?
That makes sense. And, you know, I saw, like, I'm in Texas and that you're here in Central Market. So I feel like for every, you know, CPG company in Texas, that's like the number one goal is to get into Central Market. So that's really cool.
Yeah, Central Market is such a great account. They've been one of our first partners and have grown with us really throughout the year. So lots of love for that account.
Awesome. So what would you say is the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this company?
I think get support, because I started to get more support and more open to getting advisor around me and getting supported more recently in running the company. And I wish that I had done that earlier on. You know, from getting a board of advisor to getting a professional coach, a business coach, to getting that support group of CPG friends that you can turn to, because that journey is lonely and every founder or every CEO and operator deals with different challenges, but some of them are very much in common. And having that group that, you know, is a friends and family kind of NDA where you can always turn to, they have your back, you have their back, I think have given me a lot in the last few years. And I think when we started, we were like operating out of the fear of, I don't want to share because people are going to copy or people are going to kill it. And there is some of that, right? There are always going to be some of that. But I think putting yourself out there and not being afraid for people to break it, tear it down completely. Like, I've gotten to the realization now that I'd rather hear it from them than go with what I think is right and then that will cost me a lot. So just sharing with as many people as I can to get that feedback before we actually go and do.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's really good advice. So if we're going to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you expect things to go for Belgian Boys?
Well, in 1 year, we've really, really expanded. We've cracked down our refrigerated breakfast as a destination. So we started our business and we presented waffles, pancakes, crepes. Buyer told us that's frozen breakfast. And we're like, what the hell is frozen breakfast? Because coming in from Europe, I'd never heard of frozen breakfast. And ever since 2019, we've really started with baby steps. I'm talking 60 stores to 300 stores to 600 stores to 2000, like very baby steps in the last 5 years. You wake up, you go to your kitchen. What do you open? The fridge or the freezer? The fridge. So why are baked goods in the freezer versus the fridge? And that's what we are answering this year. The CMA, which is the Category Management Association, they published a case study on how Belgium Boys is pioneering that category. And it's super exciting to next year. By next year, I believe we will have all the accounts that we want converted from frozen to refrigerated and be able to work on that, being a thought leader for this retailer in creating this destination across the retailers for the US consumers, something that just isn't there yet at a lot of retailers.
Awesome. And I love how you think outside the box. I mean, that's smart. You know, I think, well, to your point, lots of people are thinking about putting things in the freezer, but, you know, it's definitely not. Like, I have things sitting in my freezer probably for months, maybe even a year plus, you know, just sitting there. So that's a very good way to think about it.
I love it. Yeah, definitely. Always in the fridge.
Exactly. Exactly. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing your website or just best way to get in contact with you?
Sure. So our website is belgianboys.com. You can find our store locator there. We're in about 7,000 stores nationwide. And if you want to reach out to me, I'm on LinkedIn, Anouk Gottlieb, and I'm pretty active on that platform.
Anouk, thank you so much for your time. It was a pleasure chatting with you. We're rooting for you. You know, hopefully you can be in even more stores and grow in the next year.
Thank you so much for having me. This was such a fun chat. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, you too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.